Hello and welcome to Vision Extra, coming from Vision Australia Radio. Peter Greco with you, and with us is the recipient of this year's Tammy Axelson Lifetime Achievement Award from the Round Table, Ramona Mandy. Ramona, welcome and congratulations.
Thank you. Good evening, Peter, and thank you very much.
Now, I believe you were at the presentation. I'm assuming that you've been to quite a few Round Table conferences. It must have been nice to be the recipient of the award rather than being there when others have received it.
Well, I have been to quite a few roundtable conferences, usually in my capacity as a trade exhibitor with Humanware from when I worked for them. So I actually felt guilty sitting in on many of the conference sessions and thought I should be out at the exhibit table, but then I remembered, no, I was a delegate and I was there. And yes, it felt quite strange being up there on the podium receiving the award, the very special award. Conference is always a lovely time, the dinner and the conference and the whole 4 days.
Now, I believe you had a little bit of a tip-off that you might have been in the running and had someone special in the audience with you?
Yes, they did give me about 10 days' notice. So that was good because I had to book flights and I was not sure whether I was going to go to Roundtable, but that's have nailed it this year for me. And, I did need to have that warning, I guess, so I could at least say a thank you without stuttering too much. And I also invited my mother to come along, who is also a consumer. She is a person with a print disability, which is what Roundtable covers. So she was there learning things from her own consumer perspective, but it was nice to have her there. I think she's very proud of me, and it was just nice to have her support.
Yes, well, I believe that there were a few tears, and I think understandably so, tears of pride, if that if there's such a thing. Ramona, take us back then. As I said, we've been chatting to you for a number of years when you've been with Humanware, but I guess your passion and advocacy for rights of people to get access to information goes back even before then?
Yeah, I've always been passionate about a number of things, print access, but even before that, I guess, as you say, the rights of people with disabilities. It really started in 1981, within the year of the International Persons with Disabilities, where I was involved with a presentation at the Opera House where five people with different disabilities, me representing vision impairment, got up and made a very artistic presentation to the audience on New Year's Eve to open up the year of IYDP. Or is it PD? I can't remember now. for people with disabilities. And so from then on, once I started working, I've been involved through disability advisory committees, through my unions and my university involvement. I got involved with different disability advocacy. But also, I guess, just through my work in technology and Braille training, I've always enjoyed the empowerment that technology or just learning hard copy Braille can bring to people with disabilities. It gives more employment, gives more pleasures, gives more education. So there's a number of ways to improve the rights of people with disabilities, and some of those things are technology or just working on development. Sometimes it's leading people and helping them to understand how improvements can be made, and sometimes you have to be a bit more fierce and lobby and develop policy. So I like that. I like being involved with all aspects of improving access for people with disabilities, whether it's print access, environmental access, or just respect and attitudinal change.
Where did that passion come from, do you think? Was there a person or a thing that happened maybe even before 1981 that sort of lit that flame?
I think partly because my mother, as I said, is vision impaired, and she taught me very young to stand up for myself and not be bullied as a vision impaired person. I've inherited her eye condition. But also my father was from Sri Lanka, so my sisters and I had quite dark skin, and as a result we would sometimes be teased for that. So I guess there was a couple of different disadvantages, if you could put it that way, but we were taught very early on that they weren't disadvantages, they were just differences, and to appreciate diversity. And I certainly also was not allowed to get away with anything that my sisters had to do because I had a vision impairment, so I had to do just as many chores. So by being made to do things, I learned that I could achieve and I didn't need to be mollycoddled. So I guess my mother was a very strong influence in that. And maybe part of it's just personality as well.
So equal opportunities was well and truly alive. You couldn't get away with doing anything, or you were entitled to do the dishes or to make your own bed. That was all part of the whole game.
That's right, exactly. Yeah.
So you worked before Humanware. Tell us about that work, and I guess again you're almost doing what I often refer to as subliminal advocacy, weren't you?
Gosh, yes, I guess so. I first of all started once I finished high school, and I moved to Melbourne in 1984. So I'm certainly a Melbournian now, but I was living in Sydney, did my education there, but. When I moved to Melbourne, I undertook some courses such as audio typing and switchboard, and then came the task of job hunting and went to many interviews and often came second. So I think there was some experience of discrimination, very sort of hidden discrimination going on there, but some of it may have been my inexperience as well. So I just had to keep that resilience up and keep applying and not let it get me down. I eventually got a job in the Commonwealth Public Service and Department of Education. Later moved to Department of Defence, where I worked for almost 10 years. Nearly got that long service leave there. And particularly in Department of Defence, even though they were just sort of administration jobs, I was heavily involved with, I guess what you'd say, extracurricular activities, involved with equal opportunity committees. I was invited to draw up a disability training course for contact officers within the department. I was also heavily involved in my union, the public sector union at that stage, and got involved with disability advisory committees there and chaired those sometimes. And then at the university level, I was also studying and did a BA in honours degree in linguistics, but once again got involved with helping staff at the university understand how they could accommodate the needs of people with disabilities better. And once again, as I said, I think there is a need for collaboration and cooperation. I also was involved with a protest group, the People for Equality, Not Institutionalisation, on a more lobby direct action perspective. So then after that, in 1996, got a job as an adult Braille instructor at what was then the Royal Victorian Institute for the Blind, which is one of the forerunner organisations to the Vision Australia of today. Mm. And I was teaching Braille technology and hard copy Braille as well to adults. So in that, often I was a role model to people that had acquired a vision impairment later in life. So although my job was to teach Braille or Braille technology, I often found myself sort of just explaining how things can be done and that life isn't over.
That's very important, isn't it? Because we've spoken to plenty of people on the program over the years, and when they meet someone, particularly if they've lost their sight later on in life, when they meet someone that has been through it and come out the other end, that's very comforting. That peer support is just so strong and so important.
Absolutely, that's right. And I also found out when I worked for Humanware as a blindness product specialist in the last 16 years, there was also many different people either that were blind from birth or vision impaired all their life, or people that had acquired a vision impairment, and people from different walks of life. And once again, sometimes that was a very new experience for people and I could share my experiences, and sometimes it was a person like myself who had just always been vision impaired, and I could relate to their needs, particularly their technology needs.
What about the advancement of technology over the last, since 1981, that's what, 36 years or so? I mean, that's been an incredible thing. I mean, it's in a sense been a double-edged sword, because sometimes the technology has also presented some challenge, but in terms of opening up opportunities for better access to information, that's been a real plus?
Oh, absolutely. There's been big advances throughout many, many years, and things are getting smaller. They're no longer called portable if that you can pick them up with one hand. They're only portable if they fit in your pocket. But we're seeing so many handheld things now. We're seeing wearables coming into being soon. We've seen the disappearance of cords with the advent of plug and play with USB thumb drives and Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. But I've also enjoyed the fact that even from 1987, when I got my first computer, when I was working for Defence, that was a Braille computer. It had Braille keys, like a Braille writer, and I could write Braille. And even since 1987, I've seen computers being developed with Braille input and now Braille output as well. And whether you're talking about a proprietary made product or a mainstream product, the fact that Braille can be incorporated into all of the technology and it's perpetuated, it just shows that Braille is important. It's a really important tool for Braille literacy. It's your only way of really reading, not just getting information. That's not to say that other technologies are not important, because they are. Not everyone can read Braille or has access to Braille, but information access is so important, whether it's the web or electronic text on portable devices, or even just technology that's being developed to incorporate gaming devices that will allow people that are blind to access mainstream devices. It's all very exciting, but it's also very important.
Now, the award is named after the late Tammy Axelson. I'm assuming you had a little bit to do with Tammy. Certainly, I don't know that we ever spoke to her on air, but she was great as far as arranging interviews for us, and must be a very proud thing to have had an award that carries the name of Tammy.
Look, absolutely. It's very special. I really feel very privileged and honoured. The award is given out for public recognition for outstanding service. And, you know, if ever there was an example of outstanding service, it was Tammy Axelson. Tammy was a long-time administration officer for the Roundtable organisation, and she was also a lovely person and a good friend to many of the people in the print access field. Tammy unfortunately passed away in 2015. The award, before being renamed in her honour, was known as the Roundtable Lifetime Achievement Award. And in memory of her, of Tammy, in 2016, the name of the award was changed to the Tammy Axelson Lifetime Achievement Award. And the first recipient of that last year was Nigel Herring. And many people would know Nigel, because I think he's the guru of all technical service, of just about every adaptive technology that's ever existed. And so he was a very, very worthy recipient of the first award in Tammy's name, and it just feels very special to me to also receive that award in her name. I did know Tammy very often as a person who I liaised with as an exhibitor when I worked for Humanware. And just more, more basically as a delegate.
Ramona, congratulations. You certainly deserve to be up there with past winners. That's a very proud history of people that have taken out the Lifetime Achievement Award, now named after Tammy Axelson. Congratulations. Keep up the good work. I know that you've moved on to bigger and better things, and we congratulate you once again.
I thank you very much, Peter, for the opportunity to speak with you, and thank you.
Ramona Mandy there, the recipient for this year's Tammy Axelson Lifetime Achievement Award at the Roundtable for Information, or Access to Information for People with a Print Disability, held in Perth. Congratulations to Ramona. That is it for the program. If you've missed some of it, maybe you'd like to hear it again, you can go to our website, www.rphadelaide.org.au/links/VEMP3. The VE is for Vision Extra, the name of this program, back on this radio station at the same time next week.